This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, whether it's Fresno, California, or Anadarko, Oklahoma, or anywhere in between, there are heroes around you. There are men and women who have done incredible things for the sake of our freedom, and we're fortunate enough to have a woman on the show today. Each week, we visit with veterans from our greatest generation. We want to honor them for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for the freedom we enjoy every day as Americans. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated. We're entertained. I know we will be today. And oftentimes inspired. So I did say women, and there were more than 16 million Americans who served during World War II, almost all of them men. But as you've heard on this show before, there were quite a few women in uniform, whether it be the Army, the Navy, the Air Corps, the WASPs were getting into it, the Coast Guard had the spars, the Navy had the waves, and we have a Navy nurse who we're going to hear from today. But before we get to the Navy days, let's talk about Anadarko, Oklahoma. Peggy Bergthold, 93 years old, lives in Fresno, California, but you grew up in Anadarko. You had a brother and a sister.
Yes.
And where do you fit into that order?
I was the middle.
You're right in the middle.
Yeah. My brother was 6 years older than me, and I was 6 years older than my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of grew up and went off to Wichita, because our Wichita people, and he went through Wichita University, and he went into the Air Force.
All right.
And he was a general. He was in administration.
He was an administrator with at that point, the Army Air Corps.
Yes.
Made it to the rank of general. So you had friends in high places.
I don't know that.
What about your childhood, though? What do you remember about that? Because so many of the people listening were not alive during the Great Depression. They weren't alive during World War II. What was it like in Anadarko in the 30s?
My father built cotton gins throughout Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico. Okay, he always had a salary coming in, so we didn't really feel the depression. And my mother was an excellent cook and so forth. So in those days, we just didn't feel the depression.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it was there.
And I always enjoy having a female veteran on the show because it's such a different perspective from the male veteran. And it helps young women today realize how different things were 75 years ago. For you, as you're going through school, were you thinking about a career? Because, I mean, so many women at that point maybe didn't even have those ambitions.
No, didn't think it. I just went to school and I finished my degree at Wichita University in the nurses training. And then that was when it was very patriotic to go. And since I was a nurse and everything, as I said, my people thought I should join an army.
Well, what you told me was whatever your family wanted you to do, you always did the exact opposite.
Right.
When did that start? How old were you when you started that pattern?
Oh, that's been with me all my life.
Do you have any other fun examples of that phenomenon?
No.
Before we get to that, though, the decision to join the military, you made the decision to go to nursing school. So you get out of high school in Anadarko, Oklahoma, and you go to this Wesley School of Nursing in Wichita, Kansas. Why did you want to do that? Where did that idea come from?
Well, I don't know. There's something said I wanted to be a nurse, and I went to Wichita, so I joined the Wesley School of Nursing. And it was a good school. And Wesley now is a big place.
And something happened while you were there that changed the world. Do you remember December 7th, 1941?
Oh, sure. You know, yes. Well, December, see, I was out of nurses training, and we were in Vancouver. I had taken a train trip across Canada. And to get back into the United States, it took us 4 days that we were trapped, that we could not get.
So you're in Canada sightseeing. You're out in Western Canada. Do you remember getting the news?
I saw all of this blast and everything, and I thought, what's happening? We found out that we'd been bombed.
What did that mean to you?
Well, I was so young, I didn't really feel any particular way.
But I guess it probably hit you when you couldn't get back across the border that this was a big deal, huh?
That's right.
As America entered the war and as things started to progress, were you starting to think that that might be a good way to use your nursing degree in the military?
Well, I didn't have any choice. My people thought I should join. I walked down to the recruiting court and joined the Navy.
They told you Army and you said, nope, I'm not listening to you.
I like the Navy.
What was it about the Navy? Was it the uniforms?
Anchors Away.
You like their song better?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I think I liked the uniform and that we didn't have to wear black hose.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, I guess comfort is important and style too.
Yeah.
And I know you're a very stylish woman, even now at 93 years old. That's what they tell me at the Fig Garden Women's Club when I've been over there.
Oh.
But long before you envisioned that or living in Fresno, California, here you are joining the Navy and you've got to make your way from Oklahoma to California.
Yes. My brother drove me out. He was visiting mother on leave and he went to the Navy station at Norman, Oklahoma, and made arrangements for me to enlist in California. So I drove with him. We drove by car from Oklahoma.
Okay.
He put me on the train.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Got it.
And I was to go to Mare Island Naval Station, and I didn't know where that was. Lord, I was just as ignorant as could be. But anyway, this dear Admiral got these three nurses, and these three nurses took me by the hand. We went into San Francisco. We went out to a Chinese place and ate. Then we took the free Navy base out to Maryland. I would have never made it. I would have still been up there looking around how to get. But anyway, and these three gals carrying my suitcase. Now, our quarters at Maryland was beautiful. We had lovely quarters. And so they got the house mother and got me a bed, and I fell into bed. And the next day, I met the gal who was head of surgery, and she says, I said, yes, I'm just coming into the Navy, and I've had lots of experience, lied like a dog, in surgery. And immediately, I was sent to the operating rooms.
Right then.
Right then.
And how much experience did you have in surgery?
Other than what I'd had in nurse's training.
Not much.
No. But you see, the corpsman did the work, and we supervised. I had dirty surgery, and then I had three skin graft wounds. Now, Mare Island was filled with Pearl Harbor burns, and we did lots of skin grafting. But then they didn't have regular surgeons that were good. They would have doctors that were specialized in skin grafting from San Francisco come mm-hmm. out to Mare Island, do the skin grafting.
So I'm just imagining what it must have been like to be you. You're 21 years old. You're halfway across the country from everything you've ever known or been around. You're going to be involved in these kind of surgeries that you've never seen or witnessed or been involved with before. And then there's all these guys, and you know what's happened to them. They were at Pearl Harbor. They were not killed, but pretty close to it.
That's right. And these boys, when they'd come into dirty surgery, see, they opened up the Japanese camps, and they sent their boys, and oh, the Japanese mistreated our boys. Oh, that, it took me years to like the Japanese after I got out of the service.
And this is going to be later on in your time when you get these returning prisoners of war. But at this time, with those Pearl Harbor survivors that you guys are treating, can you give us an example of what kind of injuries,
There was all kinds. There was bones. Now, they did a lot. Do you know what a revision for a stump? They'd take and they'd cut back the shrub to here and put a flap over it so they could put the prosthesis. Well, they had big prosthesis, and they made the prosthesis right there at Mare Island.
So manufacturing prosthetics for sailors who had lost limbs, lost legs, had just one leg.
Or an arm or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have to do the revision for the arm or the leg or so forth. So that was one surgery. But you see, these corpsmen did the work.
You're there watching, observing, making sure it all goes right.
Yes.
Grabbing something if they need it.
Yeah. We didn't have very many nurses in surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the corpsmen were good. They were young men that didn't make it into medical school. They joined the Navy, and then they were going to go back to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
But they were smart young people.
Did you interact at all with the patients?
I met this wonderful husband of mine. Where's the picture? Okay. My dear, charming husband had four left feet. He wasn't a good dancer.
And I've heard of two left feet, but not four left feet.
And he wasn't good at dancing. And so I would go to the officers' club, and I would dance with everybody else. And he'd sit on the with his buddies from SOQ. And
tell everyone what SOQ means.
Sick officer's quarters.
Mm-hmm.
See, he had been on an LSD, and the crane broke and knocked him 20 feet down the hatch and broke every bone in his left foot. So he was at Mare Island getting his left foot
mm-hmm.
cleaned up.
And he wasn't, you're calling him your husband now, my dear husband, but he was a stranger at this point. You didn't know who he was.
Well, I met him, but he was at SOQ and with all the gang.
Uh-huh.
Anyone in the service you agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
By that, you accepted him. So then we started dating.
What stood out about him? What made you think, yeah, this guy, of all the guys around here, because there's plenty of wounded soldiers here you could deal with.
He was very brilliant.
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 Uh-huh.
And I was very intrigued with his knowledge.
Looks like a pretty good-looking sailor there, too.
He was very good looking. Well, come on, so was I good looking.
And if you want proof, we'll put these pictures up at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. So I'm sorry to interrupt there. So you meet this young man, but he would never dance with you because of
the foot injury? He didn't dance well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too busy dancing with everybody else.
I guess so. So this is obviously an important job, and for these guys who are being treated there at the hospital at Mare Island, it's life and death, but it sounds like you're having yourself a lot of fun.
The thing of it was, everybody knew me because I was in surgery. I was a nurse, all of them would come to surgery for some type or other and so forth, and they'd meet me, and my mother couldn't take this when she came to mine. They'd meet you, and they'd take their stump, and they'd shake it in your face and say, "Hi, Miss Garrett, how are you today?" And
you just got used to that.
Well, you just, yeah.
Was it ever hard to see that? To see that these are guys that
No, you just got used to it. Well, to a lay person, it would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
My mother just couldn't take it.
Did you ever think about the burden that these guys were going to carry? Or the
How
it reflected?
How they were going to be accepted when they left the Navy, mm-hmm. because they were in their element. They were with other people with maybe both legs gone or an arm or both arms and so forth. I've often wondered how they made it. Because it was naturally hard on them.
Well, sure. And this, I mean, here's this war. I mean, 16 million Americans would end up serving. More than 400,000 died.
Yeah.
That's a heavy price. But the guys you worked with paid a really heavy price, too.
Oh, yes. And see, so many of mine were Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
They were the Burns, and the Burns were bad. I just hated the Japanese.
Well, and you were not alone in that at that time. It's important for our listeners to note you used the past tense there. It's not how you feel now, but 70 years ago, you're seeing firsthand these devastating injuries suffered by men who had been the victims of Imperial Japan's surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. I'm sure we can all imagine that seeing sailors missing arms and legs from that day of infamy would stir up quite a few emotions. It's time to take our first break. If you'd like to see some photos of Peggy Bergthold from her Navy nurse days on Mare Island, check out the Hometown Heroes Facebook page or hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll also find some links to the fascinating history of Mare Island. The hospital she worked in is still standing. And there's a neat museum you can visit if you're ever in the vicinity of Vallejo, California. Check out those links online and keep it here because we'll discuss a little of the background of Mare Island when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. If you spent much time listening to Hometown Heroes, you've probably heard veterans from all over America talking about the mission of the Honor Flight Network, taking World War II veterans free of charge to see their memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wanted to see it. I've always wanted to see it since they built it. And to see all those guys there that did survive. And then they get emotional. Pretty soon you get emotional, too.
I tell you, that Honor Flight, I just can't believe what a wonderful deal it is.
Everywhere people came up to us, military guys and civilians, and wanted to shake our hands and thank us for all we did. I kept saying there were 16 million of us, you know, and I only did a little piece. But it was just an emotional high.
When it comes to our men and women in uniform, all gave some, and some gave all. A reality underscored as veterans visit the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam memorials and Arlington National Cemetery.
All those white crosses, they're going to your heart. You just know that there's good guys there, but they had to die. For what? So you could live.
And while they are still living, Honor Flight gives the rest of us a chance to express our gratitude. Won't you encourage the World War II veterans in your life to put in applications for this all-expenses-paid journey to their memorial?
It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. It gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think.
If you live near me in Central California, find Central Valley Honor Flight at cvhonorflight.org. Wherever you're listening, there's a hub in your area, and you can find it on the national website, honorflight.org. Sign up a veteran, volunteer to help, or donate to this important and time-sensitive mission. It's amazing what it means to these members of our greatest generation.
I'm telling you, they make you feel so good and so wonderful. Let me tell you, I can't preach enough about this. You listening?
The manner in which we were treated and greeted and acted toward was just awesome. It made me believe that the people of the United States are just wonderful.
Time is of the essence. Team up with Honor Flight today and help give our veterans one more tour with honor.